Welcome back to a new episode of the Let's Get Serious podcast. This is episode 11. And we are back today because, well, we have to really keep putting out new episodes. And we do have quite a backlog of amazing episodes to bring you. So now's a good chance. There is a lot going on in the topic of divorce that's been going on for, it keeps popping up all the time. Sometimes it gets more intense. There happens to be an individual on the social medias with a lot of ruckus-making power, and she is very good at getting people talking about it. I already talked about her once, but now she's at it again, so it's a good opportunity to get back into the thing, swing of things, despite all the busyness of life and everything that's going on in the world, and in the Jewish world especially. And it's actually kind of sad that we're even talking about this while we're in the Jewish world. We're experiencing real actual problems and challenges, I should say. Well, they're problems, but they're challenges that we could overcome, especially when it comes to things like Aguna, because there are, like, tragically, horribly, unimaginably, actual Agunas among the Jewish people right now. So it's difficult, but we're going to talk about this because it's, you know, it's beyond our control. The conversation is out there. This is the top of the mind for a lot of people in America, at least. So without further ado, let me introduce episode 11. This is episode 11 of the Let's Get Serious podcast, a particular series called the Nathan Gettysburg Live episode type. So thank you very much for joining me again. So I want to address the situation right now. I became aware of it through the Mislabeled podcast. So there's this really great niche Jewish podcast, really targeted at the frum, burnt out yeshivish crowd. And I highly recommend it. They had a woman on last night. They had a emergency live convention of the hosts. There's a guy, Label, and another guy, Dovi, and they had a woman on to explain what is going on with the latest news. So the latest news is that there's a woman named Flatbush Girl, and she's all over social media, and she is very adept at grabbing people's attention and putting things out there that really get people talking. It's hard to know if she's totally serious about the things she says, or if she really just wants to get people talking, or, you know, that's to give her the benefit of the doubt, or that she just wants attention. This is a woman who jumped in the pool with a shaitel to make you could watch it and decide. There was nothing to it besides jumping into a pool with the shaitel, fully dressed. That's her claim to fame initially. But this woman, Flatbush Girl, is started a campaign to try to get couples, well, women especially, to not go to the mikveh, and for couples to engage in what's called the mikveh strike, in which she's pressuring all couples in the community to stop going to the mikveh and stop being physically intimate with their spouses. And just to be clear, in one of her story posts on Instagram, she paskined that you don't need to keep all of the harchakos, just the the real deal, the home base. I'm not so clear on my baseball analogies on that one. But Flatbush Girl says that a mikveh strike, that's what she calls it, would convince husbands to take action to force some random guy named Volvi Berkowitz, who lives in Monroe, New York, to finalize his Jewish divorce with his wife, Malki Gold. So Label Wiener from the Mislabeled podcast convened this episode, and he interviewed a female supporter of the mikveh strike, this new mikveh strike movement, in a on-camera interview. So if you watch that podcast, Label is aggressive, and he's no different in this episode. In the episode I'm referencing that was on, I think it was last night or the night before. But he did a really good job hammering down on what this woman, I think her name was Abby, what she perceived to be the goal and the justification of this new mikveh campaign. And I just want to say, from listening to this episode, it's not the first time that I've felt this way, but it's really one of the things that terrifies me about the state of the world is this complete breakdown of basic critical thinking and logic skills. Like, we've seen this happening in the world for some years now, but, you know, I think it obviously really accelerated during the coronavirus era, which is not that long ago, and we were constantly bombarded with such obvious misinformation. It was so blatant. Masks, vaccines, vaccine cards, transmission, schools closing, all kinds of things that, you know, everyone except the real crazies eventually realized at some point. Everyone realized at a different stage that there was so much garbage out there. But as a community, I think that we've been largely protected from all of this nut jobbery in the outside secular world. But I think that they are mental viruses, and they are psychological pathogens. Those are not my terms. I mean, somebody came up with a term like that. But they're basically pathogens that sneak in and they infect your brain. And, you know, this is like, we're talking about a world where there's a part of the secular world where it's completely normal for a man to enter a swimming competition with women and win. And there are swaths of people who just think that's fine. That makes sense. He's a woman now. He identifies as a woman. Like, it sounds like a joke, and we sometimes joke about it, but there are plenty of people who actually believe that. So as the Frum Jewish community, we have been, I think, mostly insulated from this kind of crazy thought process. But I think it's seeping in. It's clearly seeping in. I think there's plenty of evidence for that. And I think this kind of Flatbush Girl mikvah strike effort is pretty clear. Like, we have a serious situation on hand. So this woman, Abby, on the podcast, on this mislabeled podcast, so she seems very nice and very soft-spoken and, you know, not a malicious person or anything, but just the complete lack of basic critical thinking skills. It's so concerning. You know, there are a lot of people that think like this. This is like just considered normal to a lot of people. And yeah, it's pretty scary. Let's just play some clips of it. So Label asked her, why did she feel it's right to pressure just uninvolved couples, random couples out there, just, you know, hundreds, thousands of Jewish families. They have nothing at all to do with Volvi Berkowitz or Malki Gold. They don't even know them. And why is it okay to put a severe rift in their marriage for this Berkowitz cause? Which, by the way, it hasn't even been established that this would in any way do anything to help the cause at all. I think this is objectively ridiculous. This Volvi Berkowitz guy is not going to look around at what people in Flatbush are doing privately and change his stance on anything, which I don't even know what his stances are. There's like no information really what he wants or what this case really is about. But there's no indication that this will help at all. But let's just play a little excerpt from the clip. Here it is.
You're saying that a married person, a woman has a right that has nothing to do with this, to tell her husband that, hey, I'm withholding tonight for Malki. Correct or incorrect? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay, why does that guy have to suffer, okay, and have his night and life ruined because there's a random case? Why do you have the right to hurt that person and get in the way of that person's life?
It's not to hurt him. It's for him to understand. But and why? He'll care enough.
It's not your job to make him understand. He has his own life.
Fighting for a cause, we want everybody to care about it. Everyone who has nothing.
But you don't
to do
get
it.
To make.
No, well, let's say. Anyone no. Do anything.
You are.
You are. Control thing.
Wait a second. So you think that you get to make someone care, and the way to make them care is I get to withhold things from you and hurt you, so you care.
No, not
correct?
At all. We're asking women who care about this cause enough to do it.
But they're affecting someone else. Yeah. You're not like getting that hurt.
Yeah, I'm.
So they have the right to affect someone who's totally innocent negatively.
Yeah, and I'm. Marriage, when you care about something, you want your spouse to care about it also.
So you have the First of all, it's not how it works, but you have the right, again, to make, to withhold something and manipulate someone and make them care about something, even though it has nothing to do with them. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay. And let me ask you a
question. It like it's a punishment and it's not. We all appreciate things after they're gone more, correct?
Okay.
So she's obviously really confused about how any of what she's campaigning for, what she's supporting, how that will do anything and how it's even justified, like how it connects, how, you know, David and Sarah's marriage, what happens there in their bedroom is going to affect Volvi Berkowitz. And not only that, but like putting pressure on this David and Sarah in Lakewood or wherever Flatbush Girls, well, maybe Flatbush, how that will do anything to help her cause, which I'm not even sure if she knows exactly what it is. And if it's even justified, how does it, how are the two connected? He just can't get to the bottom of it because she doesn't have a clear answer. And she just keeps using phrases and buzzwords that is so typical of that mental distortion that we see in the just the general world of people who, you know, if you ask someone, one of these people who think it makes sense for a man to compete in a women's swimming contest, and you ask them how that makes any sense, how that's right, they will answer with something like, well, everybody should feel accepted and everyone should be loved and we should all be happy. And that sounds great. And that just sounds amazing. And it's hard to disagree with them, but it actually has like nothing at all to do with what you were asking. And I just, that's what I heard throughout this whole interview. But this supporter of Flatbush Grill is so confused. She doesn't even know what the goal and what the timeline is. We'll listen to this clip where she is just unsure of how long this thing is supposed to go and what exactly the aim of it is. So let me play that clip here.
Would you be okay with, like, just to get your, would you be okay? Let's say what you're suggesting, a wife like is very passionate about this. So she does this for one night just to explain to her husband, like, that she's passionate about him, have these conversations that are important that you're talking about. And then they go back to have like to a normal life that they were leading before. Like that would be an accomplishment to you, correct?
I think that would be an accomplishment. I think obviously the end goal is a lot bigger than that and would take more time. It's not a small issue. That's why we're on here talking about it.
Right. But like I just think you're kind of flip-flopping between what, like, is this a indefinite thing or like, or is it a one night thing? I don't really understand.
I'm not flip-flopping in the sense that, you know, Adina's has her, what she wants to do, what she wants to encourage people to do. And I support her in that. I do think that even one conversation would be a success and is meaningful. And I'm not suggesting people go and punish their husbands indefinitely. In my personal opinion, I don't, you know, necessarily support that.
Oh, okay. So you disagree with her? That's what I was getting.
No, I'm not making a big statement about that either way. My point is,
you just said you don't want them to punish their husbands indefinitely.
Okay. My point is that the idea is to enter into this, to not get overwhelmed, to not talk about destroying your marriages. That's not the point here. No one's trying to do that.
Well, she just keeps going back and forth, never gives a clear answer about what she thinks the end game is or how this could be organized in any way to affect some kind of change that she wants and how it would even have anything to do with that. It obviously doesn't. It's obviously just a tactic to get people talking about it, and it's very successful. And I think it's good because it is enlightening about the way of some people think and the way that the kinds of mentalities that some people are promoting in the Jewish community and, you know, also in the wider community, although most of this stuff comes the other way around. I want to play one other exchange that I think was the most, well, it ends with a bombshell, but I think it was also the most illustrative in general of what is the common divide between men and women, particularly in the Frum community. And I think guys listening, like the men out there who are listening to this podcast, first of all, thanks. Keep listening, share it. But this is something that you need to be aware of when you're married, when you're talking to women, when you're talking to your wife, if you're married. And if you're not married, then I don't know why you have a wife. But we sometimes, as from men, we have a way of thinking that a lot of times comes from a Gemara way of thinking, I think. And maybe women should learn Gemara too. I don't know. That's a whole separate debate. I'm sure people have had it already. But a lot of times what we're going to do, and this is not just for men, but men like to take other examples and try to fit the current discussion into another example to see how the points being made fit into that other example so that you could learn more about what the points being made are. So if somebody says, hey, I think it should be this way, then you say, wait, let me take this other example. Does your point apply to if you do that? And then they could say, oh, well, and then they could, you know, start changing things around. When you bring that to women, I think in my experience, a lot of women, when you give them a parallel scenario and you try to apply things from one discussion to another or one example to another, they get very frustrated and they will try to tell you how you're just being ridiculous. It's not the same thing. And then you say, no, I know it's not exactly the same thing, but there's things that are similar. And I'm wondering how you would apply that to there. And then the conversation just goes nowhere. And as men, like, you have to be sensitive about it. And women have their own things that they talk and they have to be sensitive how men hear it. And I really just think that's something that just exists and that, you know, most men like me, I wasn't aware of it for a long time. But if I was, I would have been different, but now I know. So I am conscious of it when I talk to women in my family. But yeah, I think this clip is really telling. And then she ends off with something that's really, I think, sums up the whole worldview. So, or, you know, her whole worldview. I think the Flatbush girl worldview. So here it comes.
It's like anything. It's like a guy saying, I'm not paying for your bills till you feel something about this. Why can't a guy say that? I'm not paying for your bills until, you know, Chaim over here, I'm not paying your car bill this month. You're going to go into debt. Because Chaim, you don't understand something, he's in a lot of pain. So I want you to understand the pain that Chaim's in. So I'm not going to pay the bills this month. What about that? Is that okay?
Do you think it's wrong to want people to empathize with victims like this?
You can't force someone. First of all, you didn't answer my question. And then I can answer that.
I think your question is stupid.
Why?
That's why I'm not answering.
Why is it stupid? So explain why it's stupid.
Because your analogy isn't relevant. What? We're talking about something very specific.
But I'm asking a very specific thing. Hold on. But my question is right here. Chaim cheated on his wife.
Yeah,
right?
I don't really care about your little story there. I'm talking about why? A very real issue.
But I'm turning the table.
Talk about
I'm
the
asking
issue and trying instead of making up stories no. to represent your.
Oh, I'm asking.
These are real. These are all real stories.
I'm not. I'm asking a very serious case. If a guy wanted his wife to empathize with a different serious cause, does the guy have the right to withhold paying the bills and his wife's bills because of that? Do you want her to understand? Yes or no? All right.
I just don't think what you're saying is relevant.
It's the exact same thing. What are you talking about? It's not relevant. One side's controlling the other side. I just flipped the tables. Literally, I should have done this 25 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
Well, I don't think you're talking about it like it's somewhere far away. And I think for Jewish women, it's not far away because really every woman, even a one who's happily married, isn't a gunna in the sense that she doesn't have the power to leave her marriage. And she should care about what's going on with Malki. And she's
maybe
not going to talk
in a very
about
happy
it like
marriage. So. Maybe she's in a very happy marriage.
It doesn't matter. She deserves rights whether she's happy or not.
Wow, wow, wow. So every married woman is an aguna. I think that sums up the entire ideology. I got to do another episode on this, but basically, if you are married, that means you are trapped and you have no rights because you're stuck to one partner. By the way, men in Jewish marriages are also stuck to one partner. And I know people are just going to bring up, hey, there's a way out. Well, theoretically, yeah, but it's very, very complicated and very expensive. But the idea that when you're married, you are stuck to someone, both people are stuck to that person that they married, like the man is stuck to the woman and vice versa, although Flatbush Girl advocates for all kinds of different marriages, which she doesn't even think are real commitments, then for some reason Flatbush Girl thinks that is morally wrong, and that women, I don't know what about men, I don't know why not men, but women should be allowed to just change partners whenever they want and however often she wants. And the fact that she can't is somehow shows that she's oppressed, that she's a victim. This is so bizarre. But I definitely do want to discuss this more in detail, and this is such brain rot. It's really sad. And by the way, nobody even bothered pointing out, in anywhere I saw at least, that how incredibly self-defeating and degrading to women this entire campaign is. Because the entire campaign is based on the idea that women are just objects who only have one tool in their toolbox, and it's not their brain. And the only way that they could get anything done in their lives is to force or manipulate their husbands into doing it. And yeah, the people who would fall for this are exactly the who would fall for such a campaign are exactly the kinds of people who would never support the cause. It's circularly is completely broken. So it's just so bizarre on so many levels. What I did see is that there was pushback, and Flatbush Girl, to her credit, she sometimes on Instagram she posts her what her detractors say to her, and sometimes it just seems to fly over her head because the points people make are very good, but she sometimes responds to them. And when people tell her, hey, you know, stop causing so much division and nonsense, and, you know, it is a really bad time, I think, to be doing this while our guys are in Gaza right now fighting and they're on the northern border defending Israel and Jews from mass slaughter and further genocide. But what Flatbush Girl always says is that, well, if you don't want me to do these things, if you don't want me to do these destructive things, then you should find a better solution. So in other words, like, I'll keep destroying, and if you want me to stop, then you should do the things that I'm demanding, which aren't even clear. I mean, she's just demanding, like, an end to Jewish marriage law, which I will do another episode on, but that would just be absolutely make no sense at all, and it would destroy Jewish marriages, and it would make Jewish marriages into what secular marriages are, and that would not be good. But sadly, this stuff flies in today's world. People buy into it, and it is entertaining, and that is what this world is all about, apparently. So that's it for today. Just wanted to get back into it and address this, and I hope to do more episodes very soon. I have episodes coming out very shortly, and thank you so much for listening. Signing off, it is Nathan Gettysburg. And this has been another episode of Nathan Gettysburg Live, episode 11. See you soon in the next episode.